I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles now, before we go to prayer, to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul wrote this epistle to the Thessalonians who were under great suffering and distress for their faith. And his special concern was that there had been a letter that the Thessalonians had received as from Paul, but it was a forged letter. You know, the devil would have us be deceived. And such was the case with these believers, thinking through this forged letter, as from Paul, that the sufferings that they were going through were those of the day of the Lord, the great tribulation period. So Paul writes this epistle, among other reasons, for steadfastness, but above all to recognize the false nature of this letter, and that it was not from him, and that it was through demonic influence and an attempt to destroy their faith that it was written. And our message is entitled Divine Delusion. Divine Delusion. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe," literally, "the lie." The definite article is found in the original, and we're going to look at some probable interpretations of what specifically that lie is all about. But this is a startling declaration that the Lord, who is the Father of light, the Lord who is a communicating God, who would have all men to come to repentance, is it probable that God could ever send strong delusion? Well, when we recognize the nature of the wickedness of men and how men willfully and woefully turn from the truth. When we turn from the truth, God responds at one point or another by sending delusion. And I fear for our nation. I thank God, as I've had opportunity intermittently here and there to listen to the Supreme Court sessions and such, and hear our people speak. And yet I see the displays of what I believe to be demonically influenced opposition. I fear for our nation, because our nation was founded upon biblical principles, and we have backhanded God's word, taken God's word out of our educational system, attempted to discredit our founding fathers as men of lack of faith and agnosticism and even atheism. We've sought to remove him from our judicial branches of government and such. And I fear for our nation that our nation is under delusion. Why would God want to deceive people and cause them and allow them to believe a lie? When man turns from the truth, he automatically is going to embrace a lie. And we see it all around us. Individuals that are chasing the almighty dollar are chasing a lie. The deceptions of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's all a lie. But I want us to look at the last days in which Paul wrote this epistle. And we're going to look at the four characteristics that are given to us regarding these last days of divine delusion. Why did God send divine delusion? Well, first of all, the first characteristic in the last days is going to be deception. What kind of deception are we talking about? Well, in verses 1 through 3, there had been a deceptive false letter that had been sent to the Thessalonican believers. And, as I said in my introduction, the nature of that letter was the suffering that you're going through is the great tribulation period, the day of the Lord. And we want you to know that the rapture has already taken place and you missed out on it. Well, that would cause a real deception for God's people. And if we're not careful, if we folks take heed to false doctrine, we're going to be deceived in so many ways and accept the fears that are characteristic of the world. The Lord would have us to rightly divide the word of truth. Notice what he says in verses 1 through 3 regarding this great deception that came upon the church at Thessalonica. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, and you'll notice that's small spirit, demonic spirit. All false doctrine is demonic in nature. Nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. See, that's a reference to that forged letter. As that the day of Christ is at hand. The best manuscripts translate this as the day of the Lord. That is the great tribulation period. And it says, let no man deceive you by any means. And then he describes what is going to take place before that day of the Lord, which is that time of great Jacob's trouble. It says, that day shall not come except there come a falling away. That's the word apostasia, a falling away. And then the man of sin is revealed. How will we know that we're in the tribulation period? With the manifestation of the man of sin. There'll be a falling away. By the way, early dispensationalists took that word apostasia, falling away, and they tried to view the rapture in there. A falling away of the saints and being taken up to heaven. But the word apostasia is used of false doctrine. It means to stand in opposition to the truth. It's not a reference to the rapture. It's a reference to the falling away that takes place where the world looks at the man of sin and embraces him as the Messiah. And by the way, the lie is that the Messiah is the Antichrist as they see it here, you see. The man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now, the son of perdition, as a phrase, is used of only one other person in the Bible, specifically Judas Iscariot. And yet, both are energized by the devil in their accomplishment as being anti-Christic. But there's a deception. That's the first characteristic of these last days. But then look at verses 4 through 5. And we have not only the deception, but we have the deceiver. And that deceiver, guess who it is? It's the man of sin. What does he do? He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Now, don't forget what 1 John teaches us in chapter 2 and verse 18. John said, there are many antichrists today, but Antichrist, the Antichrist, shall come. Now, we have many antichrists today. Our history in America is spotted with individuals who claimed to be messiahs and sources of revelation and inspired writings and all of these things. And we're living in an anti-Christic world system. And sad to say, our society is becoming more anti-Christic than ever before. It used to be there was a tolerance towards Christianity. It used to be that there was a little bit of an apathy. But now there's an intolerance that we see. There's an outright hatred. There are outright outbursts against the things of God. And getting back to my earlier statement, pray for the Supreme Court proceedings, because we need men who will take us back to the original Constitution of the United States, which was based upon the presupposition of absolute truth. And oh, how we need to stand. But the Antichrist opposes, exalts himself above all that is called God. Now that phrase, called God, is interesting, because the world is already in a mess. Called God implies pantheism. And we're living in a pantheistic world today. It used to be that pantheism was relegated to Buddhism or Hinduism. But now, through the New Age movement, we see pantheism proliferated through medicine, through science, through education. We see a globalistic manifestation of pantheism today. And men are even calling themselves God. Well, the Antichrist comes and he says, you know what? I'm going to exalt myself above all that you guys are calling God. So he's saying, I'm top fist. I'm king of the mountain. I'm going to be the one who is called God. And I want you to worship me. And notice he puts up himself in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That would be the tribulation temple, which is going to be built, interestingly enough, during that time. And he's telling all of these believers, you're not in the day of the Lord. You haven't missed out on the rapture. I am telling you, the deception and the deceiver are coming, and they're here now in many, many ways, but the full manifestation. But then I want you to notice in verses 6 and 7, and he had warned them about this. He said, when I was with you, I told you these things. What are you doing falling for this letter as from me? I taught you all of these things. And in verses 6 and 7, he says this. There's not only a deception and a deceiver, but there is a delay in verses 6 and 7. What is the delay? What's keeping the manifestation of the day of the Lord and the Antichrist from coming? Well, we certainly know that it's God's intended timetable. But notice the delay. Now ye know what withholdeth. There is something holding back the manifestation of the man of sin. Now it says the mystery of iniquity does already work. We see the scaffolding set up for the coming of the Antichrist. And you listen to the United Nations, and you listen to the European Union, and you listen to so many groups around the world today. They are looking for a global leader who is able to transcend all of these nationalistic skirmishes. And someday someone is going to come who's going to galvanize together all of the nations, and that is the man of sin, the wicked one. Something is holding him back. The mystery of iniquity, it's already being set up, it's already working, but he that now letteth or withholdeth will withhold until he be taken out of the way. Do you want to know what it is, or actually who it is, that's withholding the manifestation of the full onslaught of evil? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is actually, if you want to say it, he's holding up the dam from the floods that are coming. But when the rapture takes place and believers who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit are removed, the Holy Spirit is not going to leave the world. Some people misunderstand when it says he withholds until he's taken out of the way. It has the idea of out of the midst. In other words, the Holy Spirit is withholding, and he's going to step aside, but he's still going to be present in the earth, because people are going to get saved during the tribulation period. And you can't get saved without the Holy Spirit. The Spirit listeth where it will, and it opens the eyes that men might understand the truth. So the Holy Spirit will still be operational during the tribulation period, but He'll be stepping aside, taking His fingers, so to speak, out of the holes of the dam and allowing the mystery of the floodgate of evil to come upon the earth, you see. And right now, He's withholding. And he's letting, as it says, but then He'll be taken out of the way, and the great tribulation will come. The wicked one shall be revealed, but notice, the Lord will consume him with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. So, how does the Holy Spirit withhold corruption? You know how? When we, as indwelt believers, become the salt of the earth. When we move into a community and we have a part in getting involved in our community through school board meetings, housing associations, we become members of a local church, we seek to practice the Great Commission, we are actually salting the earth, preventing the corruption that normally would be there if we were not here, you see. The presence of the Bible, the presence of God's Word. When we elect God-fearing leaders to lead our nation, we are withholding the corruption that is going to come, you see. And that's why we need to get involved utilizing the spiritual and civil liberties that God has given to us. We are to use every opportunity to be the salt of the earth. That's why I believe that Christians ought to be involved. The Apostle Paul used his Roman citizenship every opportunity he had to defend his faith and to exercise his liberty for the proclamation of the gospel. And the Word of God says, the devil is going to be destroyed. And that's the fourth thing I want you to notice. Not only deception, verses 1 through 3, it's always going to be here. In these days, it was a forged letter. Today, it's false doctrine, false religious groups, false televangelists, and all of this. Deception is always going to be there. Then, verses 4 and 5, you see the deceiver. There's always going to be a deceiver. There always have been deceivers, but the Antichrist is going to be the prince of deceivers, the very manifestation of Satan. But praise God, there's a delay. We are living in that parenthetic period called the church age, in which we are to take advantage of proclaiming the gospel and hindering corruption. But someday the Spirit will be taken out of the way. And notice the destruction that will take place. The wicked one shall be consumed, verse 8, with the spirit of his mouth. The Lord shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after, literally, the energizing of Satan. That word working is where we get the word energy from. The Antichrist gets his energy and his signs and wonders, and the power and the signs and lying wonders from Satan himself. And notice, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why will there be this deception? Why does the Lord send strong delusion? Notice 10b. Because they receive not the love of the truth. There's a lesson here, folks, and a warning for us and our family members and our children's children. And you know what that message is? When any one of us turn from the truth, the only direction we're going to go in is down. Whenever any one of our loved ones turn from the truth, there's going to be delusion and deception. And we're going in the pathway of Satan's will and in the path of destruction. because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, God shall send them strong delusion. This especially is true for those who have committed the unpardonable sin. God only knows when that takes place. But when man has the opportunity and says no for the last time, oftentimes he steps back. And just like Pharaoh, he hardened his heart first. And then Romans 9, God hardened his heart and stepped back. And read Romans 1, the many recurring phrases, God gave them up, God gave them up, God gave them up. Why did God give them up? In progressive stages, they kept on hardening their heart. The old saying is, the same sun that melts the snow hardens the clay. You know, in the midst of all of this judgment that we're reading about, those that receive not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness, verse 12, I want to close by contrasting the response of the true believer to the Word of God. I don't want us to just concentrate on the delusion of unbelievers and the deception of unbelievers, but I want us to close with a contrast with believers. Look at Psalm 119, if you will. Psalm 119. Notice the response of believers. What should be your response? What should you pray in the hearts of your children when they hear God's word? What should be your prayer for your children as they're seeking a church, if they move somewhere to another part of the country? Well, look at Psalm 119, verse 103. Oh, rather than individuals who apostatize and reject the word of God, a true believer should have this attitude. Psalm 19, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Is that the case in your life? Is that how you view God's word? You desire to taste and see how the Lord is so good. Look at verse 111 of Psalm 119. Verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. Contrast the way the world looks at God's word. It angers them. It infuriates them. It just brings out the devil out of them. Look at verse 127 of Psalm 119. Verse 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold. You'll never see the world saying that. They'll turn away from God's word in the pursuit of gold. I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. And finally, look at Psalm 119, look at verse 174. I have longed for thy salvation. O Lord, thy law is my delight. You know, when people begin to exhibit a disdain for God's truth, the pathway is always downward. But when we seek God's word and seek to obey it and to follow it, it's the pathway of blessing and divine guidance and eternal life. May God challenge us in these perilous days to pray for ourselves, our families, our extended families, and yes, even our nation. We're living in times where we need to remember those that are leading our country. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that you delight in revealing your word. You've told us that you've treated us as sons, not as servants. You have revealed to us that which the Father has shown unto you. And Lord, we pray that never would our eyes be blinded in any way, but that we might see our Savior, in the Word of God and hunger and thirst after righteousness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.